CliffCentral.com.
Yebo. That's this evening, 8:30. Today is Wednesday, right? Yeah, so it's tonight. I had to check. I was like, what day of the week is it? I never know anymore. Even though we're going back to the office more than ever before, it just doesn't feel like you ever know which day it is. You have to actually check every single day. Speaking of O'Neill, who is on the show this evening, he came to our little birthday thing yesterday. We really had just the staff, and we got a huge big cake. I mean, you've got to see this cake. Sia, can't you put a picture of the cake up for the people who might have missed it on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere else? Because that's a
congrats on 7 years.
Yeah, thanks, Flaxi. It was our actual birthday was on Saturday, but you know we weren't going to make everyone schlep into the office on a Saturday. So we celebrated yesterday with just a little birthday cake and bit of a speech, and Jane made a speech. You know, Jane made a speech because she's one of the oldest members of CliffCentral.com. She was pretty much there from the beginning. She and Sia and Greg. So she made a speech. Just put your picture up of that cake. I want people to see it. Huh?
So I'm not going to say anything more on that. I felt like you were leading to something with us, Jane.
No, but, you know, after all the insulting things that Jane has said about everyone over the years, people actually were very, generous with their applause for Jane during her speech. And she really has said some terrible things.
That's because we're scared of her.
We are scared of her. We I think everybody admits that they're a little bit scared of Jane. She's not the kind of person you mess with. Anyway, while C is getting that cake, I found a picture that was actually taken at a Starbucks or one of those coffee shops with Sia's order on it. Do you want to see what that is?
Sure, this is going to be long.
Yeah. So this is an actual picture someone took. Ignore the name because they obviously couldn't spell Sia, but just look at this. This is Sia's order from a coffee shop. Look at that. It says Edward, but we know it's Sia. There's all the different instructions on that.
I literally thought it said extra love, but it says extra ass.
But this is the kind of thing that Sia would order from a coffee shop, right, Sia?
Whose side are you on, Michael? I'm still disappointed by that, actually. That doesn't look bad.
Yeah, of course not. Look at the list of specific instructions. I mean, seven...
It doesn't look bad. The person who knows exactly what they want.
It's really extra whip, caramel, drizzle, extra ice, 7 additional frap. I can't even read. I don't know what all that is, but it's typically Sia. That's what that is.
Double blended. If you didn't blend it the first time.
Yeah, so it has to be double blend. That's the kind of thing that you wouldn't have a problem giving someone all those instructions for a single coffee, would you?
No, not at all. Because you need to know exactly what you want. You need to know exactly.
He's not even fighting with us this morning. That's how Darcia is. All right, here's a quick quiz. Someone sent me this quiz, and you have to choose what combination. So if you are watching us on YouTube, you might want to screenshot this. But look at this. How do you sleep? What do you sleep in? Especially now that we're going into winter. So it's got all the different combinations. Number one is long or tracksuit pants, it looks like, and a T-shirt. And number 20, because there are 20 different combinations here, number 20 means you sleep in absolutely nothing, totally naked. So you can go through all the various combos, and there's, you know, combinations for women with bras, there are combinations for men with T-shirts and vests. Some women prefer T-shirts as well. Then some people sleep with nothing on top and something at the bottom. Some people with something at the bottom, nothing on top. Or vice versa. I think I got that wrong. But you can go through all the different combinations and tell us which one is your favorite way to sleep from 1 to 20. Take a screenshot of that and let us know. It's a very important piece of research, this, you know. Very important.
I found number 15 interesting. Why would you want to wear a bra with no panties, though?
Yeah, that is a strange combo, but maybe there's some people in the world who like that.
I would expect panties but no bra.
Mm. Yeah, that's probably more comfortable, right?
Mm. Well, I'm not going to comment. I don't know. Let's not judge people who want to let it wiggle and dangle. I don't know.
I'm all for fully nude as 20. Like, I think it makes sense. Like, you should just let your body breathe at night a little because you're in clothes all day.
So you'd say you're a number 20?
No. So 20 is more like maybe a once a week thing for me. Otherwise, I'm...
You schedule number 20s in somewhere in the week. There's one night a week where Flax is totally naked in his bed. And the rest of the time, what do you do then?
Guys, I'm like scared to sleep naked. Imagine like someone like breaks into my house and then I have to deal with them naked.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I do not want to do that. Otherwise, I'm... Summer, I'm more of a 7. I'll do jocks and a short sleeve shirt. But winter, I'm definitely a 1 where I'll do long pants, but then I would do a long shirt as well. Okay. And I'm actually going to go buy pajamas today. I want I just want to go to bed and feel like I'm going to bed in like a one piece suit. Like I want to wake up looking dope.
Yeah, but
this is a very serious conversation.
It's a very serious conversation. People get into arguments about this stuff. I know couples who fight because she wants to sleep naked and he wants to have clothes, or the opposite is true. And, you know, some of them think that it's very unhygienic to sleep with too much clothing on, because your blankets should be the things that warm you up, not your clothes. I don't think that you should sleep with socks on. I think that's terrible. I don't think that's a good
thing.
I do.
Yeah, you see.
No.
These are the arguments.
Definitely psychopathic behavior.
What do you mean? Escalated so quickly.
Well, I mean, I probably, out of all of those combos, I probably normally sleep in like a 3, which is a t-shirt. Because I've got a bunch of t-shirts that I wouldn't wear to work, or I wouldn't wear around the house during the day, but I would sleep in them. You know, like they're a bit old, they're a bit worn, but they're very
comfortable. They've gotten soft.
Yeah, but you're really comfortable, right? And then, you know, just ordinary underwear is probably the best thing to sleep in, because I don't want to sleep completely naked. I think it's like Flax says, if you get woken up in the night and you have to deal with something, you don't want to have to go and find underwear and stuff first. Plus, I think it feels like you're not just getting into bed without thinking it through. When I used to like go out and drink, I'd get into bed sometimes, and despite the fact that I usually shower before I get into bed because I don't like getting into bed dirty, but I did once or twice just pass out on my bed, and then you'll find yourself either wearing nothing, or you'll find yourself wearing like half of your clothes, or your pants are down at your ankles or something, because you've passed out without even checking. I mean, this is years ago, but it was embarrassingly stuff that I used to do. And the problem with that is you always get cold, and you haven't, you know, because you aren't really planning it. So I don't like to get into bed with less than the t-shirt and underwear on. That's usually my default.
Do you own pajamas, like proper pajamas, where the bottom matches the top, so like it's a set?
I do, but I've worn them once, and it was to a pajama party that I was invited to. So I wouldn't wear those normally. I don't like having pants, long pants on in my bed, because they roll up. They get, you know, especially pajama pants, they're not close to the body.
Snuggly and warm.
No, but they get twisted and it gets very uncomfortable, Sia. I don't like that. It's not my thing. I understand why you would do it.
I'd have to say all of these options, well, bar the bottom row, but these are a summer option. These are summer or warmer month options for me. I am man enough to admit I am the most unattractive person going to bed in winter. Just bad. You don't want to see me. It's just not a good thing for anyone. I have my winter socks. Mm-hmm. Which just go all the way up to just below my knee, or sometimes just over my knee.
All right.
You got that compression socks.
Compression socks.
Those aren't winter socks.
Are they compression socks here? Tell the truth.
Like from that 83, okay? Must just make sure that no cold is seeping in at all. And then I smush myself in so much gunk and stuff and moisturizer because you don't want to be ashy in the middle of the night. And also, it's time to seep in. Then I don't do any PJs, but I have a selection of winter gowns that I wear.
Oh, but you wear those in bed, the gown?
In bed? I know.
While you sleep.
It's a bit of freedom. And it's just,
what do you mean freedom? It gets tangled up, Sia. A gown goes all over the place.
Well, I think this is what I will admit is psychopathic behavior. I don't know. I've discussed it on the show. I don't move much when I sleep. That's another thing.
Yeah, maybe I move around a lot. So hang on. I just want to go back to the I want to go back to the compression socks because. Flax, are compression socks those things that old people wear, especially if they've got varicose veins, right? And circulation problems. Okay, so that's what Sia wears when he goes to sleep at night. All right. Very sexy, Sia. Very sexy. Very nice.
Hey, let me find a few, okay?
I'm like seeing that picture now. Sia, like, butt naked in a gown with compression socks.
Oh, that's hilarious. I sometimes do love them socks, and don't forget the 1 foot out of the duvet. That's what Ruth says.
Yo.
Well, yeah.
That's an equalizer.
Yeah, it kind of keeps the temperature optimal. Where are your compression socks here?
We are not going to change these.
Oh, my God. Hang on.
That's
worse than
compression socks.
Full screen. There we go. Those are... What are you?
Is that a spada?
Are you 5 years old?
Is that a...
I instantly regret this decision.
See, it's five. Yeah, she's 5 years old. Look at those socks. Those belong to children.
Okay. And then these are the bad mama jammers. These can go up for days and days and days and days.
Those are rugby socks.
Those I bought from a sports shop actually. When I saw them, I thought these are great for winter.
Oh, Sia's wearing the long rugby socks. This is fantastic.
This I got from a friend who really, really knows me. This I know is much an extra for our family.
That's great. Oh, my God. See,
those are cool socks.
Yeah, they are cool
socks. So that is going right up to, like, I haven't worn.
But those are brand new. Yeah, you haven't even used those yet. Yeah. All right, but those are going to be his ones. All right. Well, I mean, listen.
At least...
You know what? Screw you guys. I'm actually going to wear one of these now. Thank you very much.
I quite like your blue ones. They dual purpose. At Christmas time, you can just put candy in them or something.
Wow.
I'll laugh only once. I'll still be warm.
But one thing that you were saying, you put stuff on your face at night. I think I'm going to start doing that. It's called night cream. Not sure what's in it, but I've recently started putting SPF 50 face moisturizer on in the morning, and my skin, I'm getting a lot less sunburned, like during the day when I drive.
No, it's good.
And my skin is feeling a lot smoother.
You have to. That's really good. And the earlier you start, the better. I mean, that's what Christina, who we've had on the show before, she does my skin treatments and things. She says it's essential, whether you're a man or a woman, young, old, you've got to put on like sun protection and you've got to moisturize, and there's a whole thing. I mean, I don't do all of it. I'm a very bad student, but she's strict as hell. She says the number one thing that will make you look old is not putting on sun protection when you go out during the day, any day, winter, summer, wherever. Matilda says, Sia just made my day. I'm howling.
I'm grateful I was able to make a day, but I know you guys will not let this up now for at least the next 3 weeks.
No.
Not a chance. All right. Well, now we've had a whole lot of fun, but we've got Sean Sanders coming in to give us some more fun when it comes to the crypto ride that everybody's on at the moment. I did see, you know, there's so much to talk about with Sean every week, and it's amazing. Regardless of the fact that he comes on once a week, we've never sat here and gone, okay, well, just give us a general update, because there's always news in that respect. But I did something a while ago. I mentioned this on I think last week's update. I decided I don't have huge investments, and I don't have an enormous amount of crypto. But what I did is I sold a bunch of U.S. shares that I started, I don't know, about 6 or 7 years ago. And I just sold them. I know there was some Google, and there was some Apple, and there was some PayPal. And, you know, I got rid of those, and I actually turned it all into crypto. And I've already made more money in the time since I sold that stuff than I had.
Oh, wow.
Than I had in, like, the last year on those stocks and shares, which is pretty impressive. I mean, you know, it can also come down. That's obviously the bad side of it. So it doesn't always go your way. But I was talking to my auditor because we had a meeting yesterday, and he was like, you have to declare this stuff, because otherwise SARS can find out about it and fine you, and they can take the whole lot if you don't actually disclose it. So there's stuff we all should be aware of when it comes to that. Otherwise, you get taken out.
There's decent cash to be made in crypto. I saw that, I think it was yesterday, the new youngest billionaire got his money from crypto.
Wow. I mean, listen, there are so many ways to make money now. And I know some people think it's all smoke and mirrors, but there are ways to make money now that you don't even have to leave your house. You don't even have to have a product. You don't have to deliver a service. You can just get on the internet in the mornings, get off the internet in the evenings, and you can have made as much money as those people who are doing good, honest work. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Or just good, honest divorce.
Well, I mean, the two greatest investors of all time, the greatest investors of all time are Mackenzie Bezos and Melinda Gates. Yeah. Mackenzie and Melinda. Those are the two greatest investors of all time.
I hate how much I've been sucked into all of this Bill and Melinda drama from yesterday, and reading up how much they own and what is going to whom and where it actually all comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what I found fascinating as well was how strategic, once again, it's somewhat speculation, but how strategic the statement was. And it was essentially from one person who was suggesting it, that I was reading yesterday, to calm the markets down.
Oh, really?
Because of the impact Melinda have financially.
Yeah. Yeah.
The investments, how much stake they have in various foundations and companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's now just to calm everyone down, to say, look, you know, Bill is not about to now go through a midlife crisis and lose his
If you're that rich and powerful, mm-hmm. I mean, if you know, it can affect not only the stock price of your company, and I don't know how much Bill is still involved in the day-to-day running of Microsoft, but that's not the only business he has. And Sia's right. You have to actually think about the impact on the market, which is crazy, right? Like your personal relationship. I know.
Are you telling me their divorce affected our stock market?
Not ours, but it could potentially. Like if people read it wrong, or they said, oh, like Bill, like let's say that it, you know, word came out that Bill had been cheating on Melinda or whatever, and he's on a mad tear, and he's like out in Seattle every night pissing it up. Then obviously people go, ooh, that's not a good thing for Microsoft, and they might sell some of their Microsoft shares. So I mean, that's the simplest explanation, but there are other complicated ones as well. It's amazing.
Yeah. Further speculation is looking at the fact that they released their statements after the markets had closed for the day. It's like, so that the world had enough time to like digest it all. That would make me crazy on power.
I read that.
Sorry. I just want to interrupt for another look at the Carter and Biden picture. There we are. Just so that everybody has. We just need to see that again, just in case you didn't see it.
This will be my new wallpaper.
I'm actually going to put it on as my wallpaper for the week. I love it. It's like the Bidens doing an official state visit to the Shire. That's what that is.
I want to close my tabs and see that every so exactly. often day.
All right, here is our birthday cake from yesterday, just before we get to Sean. Look at this. Isn't this magnificent? There's the...
That looks tasty. Are those macaroons?
Macaroons. And then we've got lots of different kinds of chocolate around the bottom, and the icing is our...
What was the inside, though?
Oh, there was a top layer of vanilla and the bottom layer of chocolate.
Ooh is right.
I like that because I like chocolate and vanilla. So like mm-hmm. when people go make a double cake like that, or my favorite, and it's very rare you can find this, is do you know the soft serve that does half chocolate, half vanilla?
That's fantastic.
Oh, love it. You only get it at Gold Reef City, I think.
Flax, we mustn't forget you were once a very fat child. I mean, the way you talk about food, you can hear it. But you, even though you're in shape now, you were a fat child.
A fat is more of a compliment. I was obese.
But then you do have a mother who can cook extraordinary stuff. And she's just an amazing chef. I mean, she really knows what she's doing, right?
Yeah, so... Because she cooks for a living, she never used to want to make me school lunch. So I always got tuck money, and I'd get like 2 pies a day. 2 pies a day is not healthy for you. I'll tell you that now.
2 pies a day. Sweet Jesus. Okay. Wow.
In grade 10, I was a size 42 pants. I'm now between a 30 and a 32.
You
could fly a blimp with my pants, like back then. Like, I was huge.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
42.
I lost 25 kgs in a year in grade, I think it was 11 or grade 12.
And did people change their attitude to you when you became thinner? I mean, did you find like everything changed, or was it much more the same?
I swear to God, I was out on Saturday night and I bumped into a friend from school that I haven't seen in probably like, how long have I been out of school? 11 years. Mm-hmm. And his first thing he says to me was, oh my God, you've lost so much weight. I didn't even recognize you.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it's not like most people, when they want to lose the weight, they want to lose the weight like in a week or two. The thing is, it has to be a constant mindset. Like,
of course.
And it's really simple. Like, instead of having 2 pies, have 1 pie, then drop down to no pie, and then drop down to salad.
I hate...
Like, don't just go from 2 pies to salad.
I hate pies. I can't tell you how much I hate pies. I mean, like, it always frightens the hell out of me that you can never see inside it until you've already bitten into it, you know? And those garage pies, Sia, are the absolute worst, because you just know they're putting in all the pieces of meat that nobody else wants.
And the pies that they're coming up with, like, I saw...
Just another thing to give me anxiety now. Mm. I'm never worried about what's inside of a pie, but, well, now I will. Know.
Yeah. Flax, you were going to say?
Back in school, my go-to pie was a chicken shawarma pie or a spicy chicken pie.
Yeah.
But now, like, the variance you get is, like, the other day I went to the quick shop and I saw a cheeseburger pie. Like, they literally just took a burger patty and cheese and stuffed it in a pie. Keep the standard go-tos, like your sausage roll, your chicken pie. What makes me vomit is the steak and kidney pie. Like, I don't even know why people eat kidney.
So steak and kidney pies, and the worst is the beef and onion pie, because people will buy... Have you ever been in an office with people and you all work in close proximity together, and someone buys a beef and onion pie at the garage on the way into work, and then they warm it up in the office microwave, and it just makes everything in the office stink? I will never allow anyone to eat beef and onion pies in any office that I work in. It's just never going to happen.
Do you know one pie? And I have experience with pies. I've never seen a fish pie.
Oh, sweet Lord God, please don't let that ever be a fish pie.
Why would imagine, you want that?
Imagine a pickled fish curry pie.
That's enough. Please stop it. And you're right, you do have experience with pies. God, look what
we trust your opinion on this.
You know,
but there is a time and a place for a pie.
And that's a road trip.
That's a road trip or when you're drunk and on the way home.
True.
Please don't do it. You regret it instantly. The moment you've eaten that pie, you think back and you go, ugh, that was a bad idea.
Not that evening on your way home when you end up on your bed naked or passed out with your pants around your
and like pie crumbs all around your face. No, thank you. It's bad enough that you're hungover.
What got me off pies was I went to a dietitian in like grade 10, 11, and the way she worked was off a number system. So like a Big Mac is 4 points and this is 7 points. And you'd only be allowed a certain amount of points, like 21 points a day.
Yeah.
And then a pie was 10 points and nothing else was 10 points. The highest thing was a pie at 10 points. People need to cut out pies. Pies are the devil.
But then you'd have to like regulate your points and go, wait, I treat myself to all 10 for a pie.
You know,
you could.
Eleutheria says here, Sia, there's a good vegetarian pie at Checkers, the Cafe Culture one, spinach and feta. They're apparently awesome. Now that I can do a spinach and feta pie, but not any of the ones that Michael's been describing. No, thank you.
You must try a shawarma pie. Those are really good. It's got the shawarma meat with a bit of gravy and
okay.
a
pie. I'm going to tell you one gross story about why I don't eat pies anymore. And then I don't mean to spoil them for everyone else, but I once ordered, I think it was a chicken pie or something, you know? But there was a piece of like gristle or bone or something in it. And because it's in a pie, you don't know. So you like bite it and then you're like, that doesn't feel like chicken should feel. And
that is not right.
Yeah, after that, I threw the whole thing away. I was like, I don't even want to know what that was. I spat it out, and I was like, that's the last time I have a pie. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd also stop eating pies. It's like biting into the unknown. Literally,
it's hell.
You don't know what's in the middle.
It's what you said just now. It's the devil, Flex. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And as a former fat person and a pie connoisseur in the old days, for you to say that is all that we need in terms of an endorsement to know that we should stay the hell away from them.
We need to unite and cancel pies.
All right.
Sorry,
very
this
good.
Conversation has made me want to get one.
No, sis. Please don't do it. No, not at all.
Oh, I need that and then those little cheese puffs as well. Ooh, makes me want to slap your mama.
Cool.
Mm. Cheese puffs. You mean those chips that you buy from like a general dealer in those long, 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 long packets?
Mm.
No.
Those things.
No.
It's just pure monosodium glutamate.
Yeah.
No?
With some MSG.
Yeah.
They're like a little pastry and with cheese in it.
Oh, from Woolies.
Okay, yeah, all right. Sorry. I thought you meant there were lots of cheese cans. Not those.
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that's a pie, though. That's like...
Yeah, it is a pie.
But it's like... Do you know how you get, like, a sheep and you get a lamb? It's like the baby lamb of... You'll eat the baby lamb, like, tasty, but you won't go for the sheep because it's like... It's the big dog. I don't know if I'm making much sense here.
I can't believe we've been talking about... we're obviously all very hungry because we've been talking about this for a long time. Yeah. And even the gross stories haven't put us off.
They haven't put me off at all. Look, I'm obviously not fat, but I feel like this is very like fat-ish behavior.
Yeah, it'll catch up. One day this is the thing that will make you fat, Sia. This is what will make you fat. Carry on.
Those cheese puffs are so good.
Yeah.
And they have like this, there's this special at my local Woolies. I think it's like, is it like 5 for something or 7 for something? So I
order 4 for 20.
I always pretend like there's someone in the car or there's someone that I'm with. that I'm getting them for.
That's fat people behavior. It's not long, Sia.
It is, right?
It's not long before you... that is... The moment you find yourself lying when you order from Mr. Delivery or Uber Eats and you're like ordering two meals, but actually it's just you, that's when it's going to start. Oh, I can't wait.
I hoy like 14 of those.
Oh, man.
Sia, have you ever put a cheese puff in your mouth and underestimated how hot the epicenter is? By that point, you... Are you too far in the deep end?
You've got to commit now.
Yeah. You're now chewing with your mouth open, like gasping for like cool air.
I like the way you didn't just call it the middle, the epicenter. It's like an earthquake.
It is.
That's
you're
great.
Like using your tongue to rotate it so like it gets like cold air in the mouth.
Oh my God.
It's a whole right. story.
Well, KP says, from a recovering fat person, secret eating is the slippery slope, so be aware of that. That's from KP. And Peter says, this is gross, a friend of his nearly died from a rotten cafe pie that put him off for life. Yeah, Mike says,
Tita, we need more details.
Yeah, we what need to happened? Know what was in it. Like, what was it? What? Why was it rotten? How did he find out? Yeah, Mike says, or Mika, sorry, says, there's a pie shop near me, and they prep and bake the pies openly. All right, well, you know, to each their own. I mean, Jeremy says Cornish pies are the best. Okay.
What's a Cornish pie?
I'm not sure.
Is it a brand?
I don't eat pies.
Or design?
I don't know. I have no
idea.
I don't know. But it's amazing. People are into this. We've clearly hit a nerve because it's very, very this is a controversial subject. Who would have guessed? Out of all the things we've discussed this morning, the two that have been most controversial have been what you sleep in and pies. I mean, who would have guessed? These are not things that...
I feel like everyone in their life has had a pie. Like, I couldn't think of a single person that I could ask and they'd answer no to having eaten a pie in their life. Like, it's a childhood staple. Like, you have a pie in your life.
Oh, if I just think about the smell of a microwave after a beef and onion pie has been warmed up in it, it makes me not want to eat for the rest of the day. In fact, that is going to be my new diet. You know, I had that very famous diet a while ago. I had the two-page book. The first page was eat less. The second page was run more. And I was going to sell, like, gazillions of copies because you could buy it for like 20 cents or whatever because it would be two pages. I mean, how hard is it to print that? You could just basically do a pamphlet. But
yes,
the second diet is that you, every time you're feeling hungry, just imagine the smell of a small office kitchen where there are no windows on the inside of a big bank building or something where someone has warmed up for 40 seconds, a beef and onion pie, and that smell has gone into everything. That just makes me not want to eat ever again. That's the way to keep yourself. I'm telling you, that's how you keep yourself thin. Unbelievable.
Oof.
All right, let's turn our attention to an issue which is just a constant subject for discussion and something that we never seem to run out of interest in, and it is cryptocurrency. And this week has been no exception to that rule. We're joined, as always, by Sean Sanders. How's it, Sean? And first of all, happy birthday to you for last week, dude. It was your birthday the day after we spoke to you last week, and we didn't make a fuss of you, and then it was our birthday on Saturday, so we should have known.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday
to you as well. Thank you very much, Gareth. I appreciate it. Getting older.
So old. Yeah, so old. Yeah, don't worry.
Well, I mean, you guys are seven, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. 7 years of Cliff Central.
Congratulations.
It's pretty wild.
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears go into building a business, right? And 7 years is, it's a long time. Well,
you know all about it. So we were talking just a few weeks ago about your funding that's been raised, which will obviously help you guys go to new and astronomical levels of success. So we've got lots of things to feel very excited about at the moment. But Bitcoin people are probably less excited than Ethereum people this week, right?
That they are. I mean, this has been an incredible week. Actually, it's been an incredible year for Ethereum investors.
Yeah.
I mean, the second largest cryptocurrency, Ethereum, is up 330% this year. It's currently sitting at $3,250 odd.
Wow.
And Bitcoin's up about 90% in comparison. So there's really been a lot of money moving into not just Ethereum, actually, but actually most of the, they call them altcoins, but all the cryptocurrencies that aren't Bitcoin. So if you look at Bitcoin's dominance, and we did speak about this last week and the week before, but Bitcoin's dominance has sort of declined quite substantially over the last 7 years. It's five, 7 years odd. It's gone down from, you know, about an 85% market dominance, and today it's sitting around 44-45%. So that's a really big decline over time. I mean, Ethereum 4 years ago was sitting at around, you know, 3-4% of the market, and that's now up to 13-odd%.
How do we account for this? Because I always thought that Bitcoin, all the others were kind of tethered to Bitcoin, and more or less that was true for the longest time. You know, if Bitcoin was on its way up, then all the other altcoins went up as well. So what has happened to disconnect them for long enough that Ethereum has been able to get as far ahead as it has?
Well, in the past, it was kind of, you know, people would invest in crypto. Bitcoin is the gateway drug. It still sort of is the gateway drug to get into the, they call it the gateway drug, right? The gateway crypto that allows people to sort of experiment with the industry and the market. And I think in the past, you just sort of had a lot of money move into Bitcoin, and then people were trading between Bitcoin and altcoins. So if you wanted to get into, let's say, Ethereum, I mean, it wasn't that easy to use US dollars or rands or pounds. It was actually a case of you having to use Bitcoin. I'm going back quite a few years now. And that meant that you sort of had these markets kind of intertwined. And now that the markets have developed a lot and you've got stable coins, you know, dollar-backed coins, rand-backed coins, et cetera, that people are able to actually use. I mean, I say rand-backed coins, not that there's one in existence that I know of. But now that there's essentially fiat pairings with the different cryptocurrencies, you're able to sort of analyze them on a unique basis. So as an example, if you look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin's sort of got this digital money slash gold narrative going for it, where it's going to act as a store of value, potentially an inflation hedge. Ethereum actually operates on a completely different set of sort of drivers or factors that you know, impact its growth. So if you're looking at you know, Ethereum's growth over the long term, you actually need to see adoption of its blockchain rather than just accumulation of its tokens. And that's sort of a big driver between the two. And it's important to actually understand the difference. I mean, cryptocurrency is a bit of a misnomer because there's 5,000 odd cryptocurrencies out there. No, all 5,000 do not all have value, but there's a good chunk that do have value, and they're actually, you know, should be maybe called crypto assets because not all of them are looking to become digital money like Bitcoin or Litecoin. Some like Ethereum are actually looking at creating sort of a blockchain infrastructure that allows people to develop apps on or develop, you know, various programs on, which is pretty cool.
I just want to read something that I got from Jared, who listens to us yesterday. I mean, this will make you feel good, Sean, but it made me feel good too. So he said, "Hey, Gareth, I'd just like to say that in the beginning of the year, I was wondering how I would afford university. I taught matrix and I had a weekend job. I took the little bit of extra money I'd made every week and I bought some Ethereum because of Sean from Revix on your show. I can now afford my next 2 years of varsity as well as my first second-hand car. Just wanted to thank you and the team for introducing me to these markets." I mean, obviously that's not the case for everybody, but what an incredible endorsement. That's from Jared Schultz. So, Jared, thank you for your message. I'm not making it up, and you can ask Jared on social media if you don't believe me. But that's just incredible. And I think maybe, you know, Flax brought this up earlier, Sean, that there are people who've become extremely wealthy because they were speculating early on. They believed in what was going on with crypto. Are there any massive, massive threats that can completely unhinge all of us, whether you're a small investor or a big one, and reduce the whole crypto market to zero? Or do you believe we're past the point where it's going to be leveled at any stage? It's just going to grow either incrementally or exponentially, and it will come up and down as most markets and most, you know, most investments do. Do you think there's anything in the pipeline that can really threaten us?
I think the probability of this market going to zero is very close to 0%. I think the probability of the market pulling back, it's there, right? I mean, let's be realistic. We've seen an asset class grow by over 1,000% over a year. It would be kind of weird for that not to pull back at some point in time by 10 or 20 or 30%. But I think, you know, it's the same as sort of investing in, let's say, like the electric vehicle industry or investing in 5G technology or AI or biotech, you know, go through any one of these emerging themes. It's not this nice diagonal line from the bottom left to the top right. No, it's generally kind of zigzagged. There's a lot of like false starts and then all these periods of extreme acceleration. And it's quite interesting as well. If you're looking at crypto, just like most markets, it sort of follows that 80-20 principle where there's 20% of days, and it's probably even less. It's more like 5% of days account for about 80% of the returns in the market. And that's why you'll hear the phrase quite often that it's not the amount that you have in the market, it's the time in the market. And that, you know, I think that's quite true. It doesn't matter which investment you're in. The time that you spend in the market being invested is really, really important. And I think the other thing is, you know, crypto has done phenomenally well. And when you hear those sort of stories, that's what we're here for. That's sort of our mission at Revix, is we want to enable people to kind of become their own wealth managers and climb that wealth ladder, you know, let them reach their dreams and all the rest. But do diversify. Don't come into crypto and invest your life savings. I mean, of course, Revix would want you to come and invest your life savings. We make money doing that. But at the same time, for us to be long-term greedy and to have you as a viable customer over the long term, you need to actually accumulate wealth and actually grow your wealth. So we say invest a little bit in gold, invest a little bit in crypto, invest across the board in stocks and property, you know, get exposure to different areas. And in doing that, you'll learn so much more about investing. And I think that's a really big opportunity as well, because education is a big thing.
That's massively important. And I mean, obviously, Jared is just telling us his story, and I have no reason to disbelieve it, but he seems to have made just the right investment at just the right time. And that's not how it's going to work for everybody. Some of us may be luckier, some of us may be unluckier. And of course, as you say, timing is a critical factor here, but the total time spent in the market, which is something Anthea Gardner used to say to us all the time, is it's time in the market that counts. And you're absolutely right to repeat that. Just quickly before we go, you know, this is obviously, there's so much unprecedented stuff happening in the last 2 years. No one could have predicted all of the things that are going on. Is there any other altcoin that is just suddenly skyrocketing? Is there any? I mean, we spoke about Dogecoin. You told us about that the other day. But is there anything else that's going on that's curious and interesting when you look at these movements in the crypto market?
Oh, sheesh, go through every other cryptocurrency that's not Bitcoin or Ethereum, right? Like everyone is doing something quite interesting. The projects are fascinating, and you know, some people have the time to go and research and, you know, gamble and guess which cryptocurrencies are also going to be the next big success stories. We're saying you don't have to necessarily. It's good to learn about the underlying technologies behind these things, but rather buy a diversified basket through one of our bundles. Mm-hmm. I think if you're looking at maybe Ethereum challenges, because there's other cryptocurrencies that are very similar to Ethereum in sort of what they're looking to achieve. You're looking at the likes of Cardano, Polkadot, EOS, Tron, and these are in our smart contract bundle that we offer on our platform. And all of these have performed exceptionally well, especially looking at Polkadot, Cardano, and Chainlink. I mean, Chainlink was up about 27% yesterday. Wow. And why? Because the Ethereum network is actually super congested at this point in time. You've got a lot of transactions. Remember, we spoke not too long ago about the decentralized finance movement. I don't have time to get into that now. We spoke about the non-fungible token side of things. All of that is happening on Ethereum predominantly. So while Ethereum's price is skyrocketing, the use of the network is skyrocketing, and that means that it's super expensive actually to do anything on the Ethereum blockchain, which means that there's a lot of other developers and, you know, projects and all the rest. And the other thing is, you know, we're part of the Berkeley Blockchain Accelerator. And what was really fascinating is we've seen firsthand, I mean, these are grassroots projects that are receiving a lot of funding. Most of them are actually building on alternative smart-oriented blockchains. So looking at the likes of Polkadot, and that's quite fascinating. I mean, it was quite interesting for me to see that. So, yeah, I think looking at those others are quite interesting. And I think just a final note from my side, you know that we always spoke about, like, when does crypto go mainstream? Like, at what point?
Yeah.
I think this last week what happened is, you know, the S&P 500.
Right.
So the S&P, Dow Jones, and all the rest.
Standard & Poor's,
they have come out saying that they're going to have a Bitcoin and Ethereum index. Now, as a finance nerd, there's nothing that tells me more that this has gone mainstream than that. Maybe that, and combine that with the fact that Ethereum is now more valuable than Bank of America, PayPal, Netflix, and Coca-Cola. I think we're there, right?
I think we're there. All right, Sean, thanks so much, man. Always good to see you. Sean Saunders and Revix. Remember, if you haven't signed up already, it's very easy to do this. And I got this question from Sugin earlier on, who said, please tell us which apps you use, Gareth, which do you trust for crypto trading well? I mean, I've got an account with Revix, so that's a good place to start. And you can do that too. And you can find them on social media at Revix Invest, R-E-V-I-X Invest. And that's one word.
Gareth.
Yeah, boy.
Do you know if anyone can just go out and create their own cryptocurrency? Like, if I wanted to get Black's Coin live.
Sure, you can.
What's it take?
Yeah, you can do it, but like, why would anyone want to get involved in that? You've got to have a business case for it. Just like if you start a business called Flex Enterprises, I mean, so what? What are you selling? What are you creating? What's your purpose? You know, you can just make something. Like, you could make something up for you and your friends to pay each other in.
What do you mean by business case for a Bitcoin? Like, what's the business case for, like, Dogecoin?
Well, I mean, look, Dogecoin seems to have been a bit of a joke, but that's as a result of just internet hype and trending. But I suppose if you wanted to create something that really had some value, like let's say it was a closed circuit where you and your friends could find ways to pay each other in time or in services. Let's say, for example, one of your friends is a plumber, one of them is an electrician, and you all wanted to deal with each other in a certain new kind of cryptocurrency. You could do that. You could have a good case for that. Or if you wanted to create something that was building a technology solution on the blockchain and you created a cryptocurrency for that purpose, that would be the purpose of it. And I mean, that's where Sean says quite rightly, cryptocurrency isn't necessarily the best description for this. But yeah, you can create one. Anyone can.
I didn't know there was a link like to cryptocurrency and something else. I thought it was just like people creating cryptocurrencies. Other people think it's got a cool name, so they buy it.
Well, that's sometimes what happens. Let's not get it wrong. I mean, that is what happens a lot of the time. All right. Very, very nice. So you could start with Revix and see how it goes for you, Sugyen. Let's see what you can do here. Go and check out Revix and see what other apps there are. I mean, there's some interesting ones that I've also been playing with, like eToro's fun. If you want to buy some overseas stocks, I told you I got rid of most of mine there. But if you want to do that, that's fun. Binance is good. You know, there are a couple of others. And you might find one that's more to your liking. It's not as if these things are hidden away. They're all over the internet, and anyone can find them. All right. Good news. Stephen says he signed up this week. Okay, yeah. Good for you, Stephen. Sorry, Sia. Yeah?
I have a bit of an update from a friend who's listening who has sent me worse orders than Edward's one that we saw earlier.
Oh, you mean like with the very complicated coffee arrangement that we – it wasn't Edward. It was Sia Sangweni. You use that sobriquet of Edward because you're embarrassed that people will know it's you. I saw that. I took that picture myself. That was Sia's order.
Has anyone ever, like, told you guys to go get something or place an order for something that doesn't exist? And, like, it happened to me the other day. Someone asked me to...
Why would you do that?
They asked me to go to Seattle and order them a Seattle freeze with no milk. So I placed that order. The lady over the counter turns to me and goes... That is, like, impossible. You need milk to make it.
So they were just – are they just messing with you? These are nice friends to send you out there.
I think they were messing with me.
That's ridiculous.
So this is someone on Twitter who posted about – this is a weekly order they receive.
Oh,
this is someone who comes in every week with an order like this.
What the hell is that? Hang on. Let me get close to this. That is
green tea.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
People would. That's how.
Green tea.
You know, I understand that we live in a time where everybody feels like they're a huge celebrity and everyone feels that they're massively important and we've all got to cater to their individual needs. But if you're the person who works at that coffee shop and this motherfucker sends you that order every day.
Motherfucker.
Wouldn't you?
That is a book, not an order.
Look at how long that slip is.
So here's a pamphlet. It is a green tea cream frappuccino with 29 supplementary specifications.
Jeez.
See, I think...
That's an instruction manual.
I really think that when you get to that stage, you need to consider... whether or not it's worth you just buying your own store so that they can make this stuff for you. Because for you to inconvenience the rest of humanity with your specificity is just, I think, outrageous. And I know Sia is going to be cross with me here, but it's the same as if you go to a meat restaurant, you don't order something that isn't on the menu and complicate their lives. Sorry, it's not there. We don't make that.
Here's someone who's slightly worse, only by one.
Oh,
this is Muhammad.
God. What's that?
This is, let me see, what is it? A Cafe Misto, and that has 30 additional demands.
Jeez.
Who are you? Are you the Pope in Rome? I mean, the Dalai Lama? Who do you think you are that you must go and make someone spend? This is like 10 minutes of work on what should be a 3-minute coffee for him.
Is that extra 2 naans milk?
Oh, my God. First,
what is 2 naans?
I don't know.
Also, in the thread, I saw someone complaining about a customer who came in to order something at 37 degrees Celsius. Not 36, not 38, because they specified, they said, I will know the difference.
I would say to those, so I would say to this person, all those orders that we've looked at now from Sia and the one of Sia's, I would say to them, listen, I really appreciate you coming here and you love our stuff and I'm glad that we could make it for you. We're not doing it anymore. Please do not come here again. You are banned from the shop. I do not need you as a customer. It's too much work. I could fit 10 other customers into the time it takes me to make your very complicated order and they're all paying exactly the same as you. So get out. You're not allowed back in here. Sorry. Bye-bye. You're banned.
I used to have a friend.
I put their photograph on the wall with banned written underneath it.
A wall of shame.
Yeah.
I used to have a friend that we used to go to McDonald's and he would order like a Big Mac, but he wants everything removed off it. Sauce, pickles, nothing but the bread and the meat. And I'm like, dude.
What the hell?
What's the point?
I'll admit, so this weekend when I went and had lunch with Ben, firstly, once I knew where we were going, I researched the menu. I had to pick what
because otherwise you're impossible to go anywhere with. So I'm glad you did that. You're starting to feel you're responsible for yourself. Good.
I knew because if I took more than 15 seconds to place my order, Ben would like punch me in the throat.
Yeah.
Ben would not sit around for that.
No.
Secondly, since I was with Ben, I was like, well, now I can't just have like a strawberry cream chocolate diabetes in a dish. So, I ended up ordering a green juice and a bowl of greens. There were just so many vegetables in that thing. I lost count. And Ben was so proud of me. Meanwhile, I was slurping on the thing going, if you only knew, I'm on my way home.
With some
sugar down my face.
Did you have to eat healthy because Ben ordered healthy?
Yeah, well, there's pressure.
I wanted to impress him, but there was that pressure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also feel that, like, if I'm with someone and they like eating healthy, then I have to order the salad. Like, I can't order, like, my milkshake and burger.
Yeah, I also feel like when I'm around very, very fit and good-looking people, like, I can't order the thing I'd really like. Because I always feel, oh, God, they're going to be just judging me in a massive way. So I just go, oh, well, you know what? I'll have that with vegetables. Normally I'd go, with chips, please. But this time I'm like, no, just some vegetables would be good. That'll be really nice. And then they're like, oh, okay, he also eats vegetables. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm a bullshit.
Yeah. No one knows I would have wanted a pie.
Yeah. No, there's never a case for a pie.
No.
Like, restaurants don't even serve pies.
No,
they do, but
for good reason.
There's like one pie. No. That's why there's one pie on the menu, because there's only one specific person in this world who wants a pie, and that's a psychopath.
Hey.
A pie-copath. Let's call it that.
That's good.
Psychopath. All right. Well, John says, what if those people who make those orders are prepared to pay more for the special order? Well, that's up to the person who's making it for them every morning. If you have a deal with the shop or with the person who's putting that order together, and you say to them, listen, I'll give you an extra, but it's got to be worth their while, right? I mean, otherwise they're not going to agree to it. So you say to them, I'll give you an extra 20 to 50%. For putting this very complex order together. That's up to them. The beauty of the free market. The beauty of the free market is that you can be that asshole who wants 30 different things in his frappe, latte, pumpkin, espresso, decaffeinated soy milk, 2/9, extremely light, fluffy, triple whipped cappuccino. You can ask for that because the free market has made it possible for you. You know who you got to thank? Adam Smith. You got to thank the fact that people are able to agree, yes, I'll make that for you, you complicated asshole, or I'm not going to make it for you. And the beauty is you don't need to get the government involved. You don't need to have a system where, sorry, only thing we serve is old brown tea made mostly with gravel in Soviet Union because government make the rules. Lucky us that we live in a country and in a time where we can have these complicated things.
Like, people don't understand, like, research goes into that drink. Like, there's taste groups, there's this, there's that. Like, they designed the drink for people to enjoy. Don't touch with it. Like, they've spent millions on research development.
Sia's already going like this. He's already disagreeing because Sia thinks he knows better. When he goes to a restaurant, he wants to change their whole menu because he knows better. Well, if you just put some cinnamon with that. And everyone's like, what? Cinnamon, what's wrong with you?
I am the CEO of the Sia Sanguini Taste Buds. No one knows this better than me, so thank you very much. I will have extra collagen powder and some cinnamon and ginger in my smooth taste.
Knock yourself out, Sia. And you know what? Thank God we live in a time where you aren't going to be burnt at the stake for ordering something like that. Being called a witch for making a potion. Mm. That's what it is.
Yeah, I feel like when you have to pick a side, like what extra you want with your burger, it like causes you anxiety and you like run through the full list with the waiter. You ask if this one's better than that one.
Sure.
Does that happen?
Yes.
Of course he does.
You need to create the rapport with your waiter.
No, the only thing that happens is his waiter hates him. That's what happens.
No.
They hate
him. This is a conversation for another day, but something that's on my bucket list is to tour the U.S. and discover and eat the secret menus at restaurants.
You'll get deported.
Guys, one last thing before...
These are things that are not on...
One last thing before we go, because it's 8 o'clock and we have to get going. Just one last look at the Bidens and the Carters. Right. There they are. what a great picture. If you haven't seen Joe Biden sitting next to Rosalind and Jill Biden sitting next to Jimmy Carter, you are missing out on life. What a great picture. What a fantastic thing to make you laugh this morning. Make sure that you go and take a look at it. It's just unbelievably fucking cool. And we will see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Thank you, Michael Flax. Thank you, Sia Sanguini. Most especially thank you to you for joining us today. Otherwise, what would be the point of us doing this? And we will catch up tomorrow morning, bright and early. Same time, same place. CliffCentral.com